So this is Everyone Communicates Through Connect, and it is a mastermind. Not only are we working on putting together a mastermind so that all of you can see how it's done, it's also a training type mastermind so that you can maybe pick up some pointers and do a mastermind in your own business. So everyone gets to practice that wants to. The first 5 weeks, we took the book, which is a John Maxwell book, Everyone Communicates Through Connect. And we actually went through a few chapters. It's chapter one and two. The book is kind of divided in half. And we did chapters one and two, and then we jumped over and did chapters six and seven. And then we tie it all together in the fifth session. And that kind of gives a great overview of the book. Women for Women is the actual group that sponsored us to begin with, and helped set everything up. And so I always give a little kudos to them. They have a Facebook page, Women for Women. You're welcome to visit that. We also are in meetup.com under Everyone Communicates Through Connect. If you go to meetup.com and Google Everyone Communicates Through Connect, you will see the link there where you can either click through and buy the book if you want, or you can simply click through and download some Cliff Notes. And then the Cliff Notes are free, and it gives you all the information that you need for chapters one and two and chapters six and seven. Now, the first 5 weeks I facilitated through those chapters, and everyone kind of participated in the mastermind, which was the whole point of we're actually learning how to communicate better and connect on deeper levels while we're learning how to facilitate a mastermind. So then the second 5 weeks, Mason is our facilitator. And then our next 5 weeks coming up, and I have the dates here, is going to be Angela McBride. So welcome. Yes. So anyway, we are currently today on chapter seven of the chapters one, two, six, seven. So we're on chapter seven. And then on November 26th, we will tie it all together with chapter nine. And so that will then be the end of Mason's facilitating. And Mason, you're doing a wonderful job, so thank you so much. And then we're gonna skip December because our date actually falls on December 24th, which is Christmas Eve. So we're going to skip December, and then we will start again in January. And in January, it will then be Angela.
Okay.
And Angela is going to take us through January, February, March, April, and May for five sessions. And again, Angela, if you want to go to the meetup.com, you can download the Cliff Notes if you want, or you can order the book. The link is there to order the book, but you can go straight to Amazon. That's not an affiliate. No one's getting paid for the book itself. I am certified under John Maxwell to teach this, Everyone Communicates Through Connect, but I do not have an affiliate link for the book. It's John Maxwell's book. And so you can just go straight to Amazon. And I think there is even some Cliff Note downloads there on Amazon under Everyone Communicates Through Connect by John Maxwell. So that's up to you how much you want to. I don't want it to cost anything if you're not wanting to buy the book, but it is a great book. So with that said, one of the things that we talked about is connecting, and I won't get into, we all know how important it is to connect. But I also want to talk a little bit before we get started with Mason on just how to set up a mastermind. So first of all, you have to set up your framework as to how you want to run your mastermind. Now, I like the 5 week sessions personally. It takes about 5 weeks before a group really starts to connect with each other. Oftentimes, folks can jump in for a session or two, and it's easy for them to jump right back out. But when you have them for five sessions, that five seems to be the magic number. So if you're going to do your own mastermind, you want to design it around five. One of the issues for us is that we're doing once a month. And so what happens is it gets stretched out to 5 months, and it's easy for some folks to drop off because they kind of forget about us in between there for 30 whole days of all kinds of craziness in all of our lives, as we all know. And so if you want to do a mastermind in your business, I recommend basically starting out for free to get a core group of folks that kind of gel together. That kind of becomes your tribe. And that group starts to connect with each other. And oftentimes you can get that connection to go a little deeper. Oh, we got Debbie coming in. You can get that group to go a little deeper communicating. If you shorten it up and not have 5 months, you could do 5 weeks. You could do 5 days. So you could do a mastermind every day for 5 days. I personally like the 5 weeks the best. Because it gives everybody a little bit of a break, but yet it's close enough that you don't forget about each other, if that makes sense. So I kind of like the 5 weeks if you're going to do a mastermind for your company or for your business. And that way you can get a little bit deeper connection there and folks will tune in. So once you do a couple of those free ones and develop your core group, that core group then will become your tribe. They'll become your fans. And so at that point, see, you can then start charging for the mastermind and that group will start inviting folks as well. And you can start charging, but that core group becomes your founding members and you give them free membership to whatever you're doing because they're going to be your raving fans that's going to tell other folks and start getting people attending. So that's a great way to get started. Plus with a mastermind, you have to have some back and forth to make it a mastermind. If you're just sitting there and you're just talking and recording yourself talking, you're not getting that interaction. And so that's why it's so important to start and just take some closest folks to you and do it for free. The second thing then is how do you invite? Once you kind of get your feet wet and you kind of know the material and you're going to go through those chapters. Now, again, this book, Everyone Communicates, You Connect, is what we're using for this mastermind to show you how to facilitate and then also to talk about how to start a mastermind. But we want you to use your material when you're finally creating your own mastermind. We want you to, if you have a book, if you have a topic, if you have a passion, you can do some research and put it into 5 steps. You know, 5 steps on how to create a blog, 5 steps on how to write a book, 5 steps on how to, Debbie's into homesteading, so I'm going to pick on Debbie for a minute, 5 steps on how to can tomatoes or how to create a homesteading business or whatever. So it's whatever your passion is. And I know Mason, he is finally, as he goes down that path, you know, we start first and get clarity second. Oftentimes we feel we want to have clarity first before we start. We actually have to start and then get clarity. And since Mason has started, he is getting more clear and has somewhat, and maybe this has even gotten more clear since I've talked to him last, has decided that he is a storyteller. And so he could do 5 steps to becoming a great storyteller and use that as a mastermind. And that would then, you know, attract his tribe. So you see where we're going from there. And so how to invite? Once you've done your mastermind and now you want to learn how to invite folks. Oh, and it looks like we've lost Mason. Yep, we've lost him. He's no longer in the list. So we'll have to see if he taps back in again. I'm sure he will. So anyway, at that point, you now want to know, how am I going to invite folks to this particular mastermind that I'm doing? And so from there, I like to use Meetup. I like to use Eventbrite and I like to use Facebook events. And all of those, if you start with just one, you know, they're free. And then as you do more events or whatever, you know, there's all different price points on some of those, but none of them are very expensive. But anyway, the point is that's a good way to start inviting folks to come to your mastermind event, is by actually inviting through those event type apps. And then, of course, you can post it out across your social media. That works too. But then the next question is, how do you price it? How do you price a mastermind? And one of the things that I want to instill in you is to actually start with pricing it, you know, starting it for free until you get that tribe. Now, Debbie, you'll probably remember this. When I started, after I had retired from I'll call it corporate America, and decided to start my coaching business. I did 5 week sessions, and then I would skip a couple of weeks, and then I would do another 5 week session and skip a couple of weeks and another. And I did that for a year for free. I did it 5 weeks on, two off, 5 weeks on, two off, you know, working around holidays and that sort of thing. And I did that for a year to develop my core tribe. And then after a year is when I started then putting a pricing on it. So now my masterminds, because I want to build a larger organization, I have decided to do what's called a membership site. And so in pricing, I have paid masterminds, but it's a $25 a month membership site. So the joy of that, when you think about pricing, how many of us have joined a fitness club? Yes. And you find yourself not going, but yet you keep thinking you're going to. And so you let it just draw out of your account at 10 bucks yep. a month, whatever. and it kind of goes on and on and on. And so, so my point in that is if you have $25 a month, and it can be something like $24.99 or, you know, or 27 or but something in that range, but 25 a month and times that by 12 months, that is $300. And so now each of your members is actually paying you $300 a year. And so at that point, you're just going to grow your tribe. You know, you're going to have 10 that are paying, and then you're going to have 20 that are paying, and then you're going to have, you know, maybe 50 that are paying. Okay. Now, just to give you an idea, I started this and I have 125 persons now that are in my masterminds, and there are 125 people are paying $25 a month. And so you see how that works. Okay. So again, let me just kind of show you the math here. If you have $25 a month times 125 people, that's $3,125 a month. So I now have a $3,000 a month income just from starting a membership site mastermind. And so that's the joy of how things compound. Okay. You see how that works, and it's not that expensive, and it just works really well. So that's just some examples on how you can price your masterminds, you know, per mastermind. Now, again, as Debbie can tell you, because we're both in the Igniting Souls tribe, some of the masterminds are huge with a price ticket. Some of them, like this group that I'm involved in, that's the conferences this weekend, they have a $10,000 a year mastermind. And that's not uncommon in some of the big thought leaders. If you even are connected with the John Maxwell team, they have a mentorship program, which is nothing more than a huge mastermind. And it's upwards of 10,000 for the year. And so that's not unusual for some of these big thought leaders. But when you're getting started, you know, I don't want you to feel like you're not enough. You know, sometimes when we start a business, we feel like, who am I to charge, you know, that kind of money? And so do something that you're comfortable with. And the way I like to test and measure that for myself is, what would I be willing to pay that I would leave alone? And I figure $25 a month, I would be willing to pay $25 a month. And just like that fitness membership, if I kind of wash out for a minute, I might think, oh, darn. I'm not going to cancel it, because I'm really going to go back to that. I'm really going to do that. So I would just kind of let it draw out of my account. So that's why I chose that amount. And I see a lot of new persons are doing that are getting into the coaching type, you know, thought leader type business. That's a good price, you know, 27, 29, 37, right? You know, kind of in that range. So you get the idea. And then the last thing we want to talk about is, how do you launch all of this? And again, once you decide that you're going to do this type of a facilitation of a mastermind, you have to have a place to host all of your material, because you're going to be doing some research. You're going to be, you know, doing some marketing. You're going to record, like I'm recording this particular call. And now you have to have a place for all of that to sit, kind of like your library, so that your members can get value. If they're paying you $25 a month, they want a place where they can go in and either re-listen to an episode or check out the material or download, you know, the Cliff Notes or the book that you're using or whatever you're teaching from. And they're going to want a place where they can tap in and get all of that. And there's all kinds of platforms out there. If you have a website, oftentimes you can do courses and all of that right in your website. And there's a way that you can hide some pages of your website that only persons, your members with a password can get to those hidden pages, which then makes it, you know, if you're charging, see, only the folks that are involved in that organization with you can get to that material. So you can do it right on your website. There is some websites that you can do that. I chose Teachable. Teachable.com is simply a teaching platform, and I'm able to put my PowerPoints there. I'm able to put replays there. I'm able to put blogging posts there, my training materials, and at a click of a button, I can make it downloadable so that my students or members can simply download it anytime they want. And when they sign in to Teachable, they sign in with their email. So now I have a marketing in the back, what we call back of the house. So now if I want to announce, you know, here's the Zoom links for this week or whatever, I can do that right through Teachable. Teachable also already has the plugin for your payment, and they allow you to take a full payment. They allow you to do free programming. They allow you to do a partial payment, and they allow you to do a membership monthly repeating reoccurring payment. So they allow you to do all of that. Okay, here's Mason. We're going to let him back in. We lost him for a minute. He's now joining. And I see that he's there, but his microphone is not on yet. There he is. Mason, we lost you for a minute. Are you there? Can you hear us okay? Oh, he's connecting to audio now. Okay. We see that he's connecting. Okay, you're on mute. You can unmute yourself, Mason.
There you go.
There.
That's what you think.
He's in outer space now. What happened?
Right.
you flew right out of Hawaii.
Hawaii. Into outer space.
So, okay. Now, when I left, Kathy was explaining the background of Zoom meetings. So, here's one thing when you're dealing with masterminds and Zoom meetings you have to deal with is technology. For some reason, even though my laptop, a relatively new laptop, says I have signal, I could not connect with you guys. So now I am literally connected on my phone, holding my phone up. Pardon?
I figured something like that happened because you didn't come right back on right away. And I thought, uh-oh.
And so this is part of the technology challenges we face when you're dealing with this, is these kind of things. You have to adapt to it. Because to be quite honest, I was rather frustrated. But now we're back in track, and now I can kind of see everybody. Maybe, maybe not.
Nope, I
rarely
it.
Use...
Just know
I really use my phone
here.
For Zoom. So,
just know that we're all here and that we see you just fine. And so anyway, can you see any of us at all? Because it's hard to talk to a blank screen.
You know, I see you guys. I see, depending on which way I hold my phone, more left, right. I can see you. I see Grace. I see Angela. Unfortunately, I don't see Debbie, but I know she's there in the background and in spirit. So.
Debbie stepped away from her camera, and then we also have, where is she? Gabri is still with us, yes.
Gabri, awesome. So,
okay. Yes.
Now we've shown one of the fun parts of doing Zoom meetings or masterminds.
Now, with this, there's a great lesson here, Mason. Here's another thing. If you are hosting and what you want to do as soon as you get on, and see Mason and I are tag teaming, so he knew I wasn't going to go away. But if you're hosting a Zoom meeting like this, as soon as you come on, you're going to want to pick someone that's going to kind of be your co-host and tell them, if I get bumped off, don't go away. Just keep going with the meetup so that I can sign back in. And so you'll notice that's what I did. I knew that Mason was going to try to sign back in. I didn't know he was having technical problems with his computer, but I just kept going with the meetup because Mason and I are functioning as co-hosts with each other. So you're going to kind of want to pick someone in your group to be a co-host. So when Angela starts to moderate in January, I will also remain on as a co-host. And then, of course, Mason, since he's been the previous facilitator at that point, he will have been a previous facilitator. He'll remain on as well when someone else is hosting. And that way, if any one of us get bumped off, you've got part of your team is going to keep your call going. And so that's just an important piece on any kind of technology. It doesn't matter whether you're using Zoom or whether you're using conference.com or any type of online system. So Mason, just to catch you up, we went through how to set the framework for a mastermind, how to do the invites, how to price, and then how to launch and where you're going to host platform, if you will, all of the material that you put together for your mastermind so that your members can kind of tap in. So with that, we are going to hand it back over to Mason to actually continue on with where we are in our Everyone Communicates and Few Connect material. So Mason, I'm going to turn it over to you. And if I lose you, I'm just going to hang in there till you come back.
So story time today, ladies. So we're talking about, you know, Everybody Communicates, Few Connect. And in this chapter, we're talking about keeping it simple. So here's what you should not do when talking with someone. Don't do this. Basic training for me many, many years ago. We've got our rooms ready for inspection. And what I thought was a cooler, no, it's air quotes, cooler upperclassman comes in and he's offering to, because they're teaching us how to get ready for an inspection. And he comes in office to look at a room. And here is what I said. I looked at him and said, "Sir, would you please come in and critique our room?" Now, we are 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and I'm looking at a fellow 19-year-old, and I use the phrase, "Will you critique me, please?" I was not speaking with someone. I was trying to be smart and intelligent and affluent and using big words. And I promise you, the word critique, while technically accurate, did not fit in that situation. I wasn't talking with someone. I was trying to talk above him. I was kind of trying to show off. I promise you, he did show me the error of my ways. He did in a very clear manner explain to me that I don't need to be use such big words and use the smaller words, about four letters or so. That I wasn't, and the point was, I wasn't speaking with him. Even though he offered to help me, help us, my roommates and I was trying to show off. I was trying to show how smart I was. And I used a big word, critique. Technically accurate, totally inappropriate for that situation. When you're talking with folks, and I've had this conversation with you, I had this conversation with my son. When you talk with people, you want to talk with them. It's interesting. The phrase in the book, they say, Maxwell talks about talking to people, not above them. I personally don't even like that phrasing. I'm not going to talk to Kathy. I'm not going to talk to Angela. I want to talk with them. If I talk to you, well, I've kind of, this is my personal feeling. If I talk to you, I've actually kind of taken you down a notch. I talk to my dog, you know, I talk to Piper, but I want to talk with, because I want to engage. And to me, the word with, and I can't give you the definition, so please don't shoot me on this. The word with implies a two-way street. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a partnership. I'm working with you. I'm talking with you. If I talk to you, then you're in receive mode only, but I want you to be interactive. So when we're talking with you, we want to keep things, you want to keep them simple. The title of this chapter is Keeping It Simple. when you're talking with people, you want to keep it simple. You can use the word critique when that's not really what you need to say. We all know lots of 50-cent words. We do. But in your day in and day life, day in and day out, how often do you use those 50-cent words versus when a nickel word will do just fine? Use that. Because otherwise, unless you're in a very technical situation, it can come across to many folks as you're trying to show off, you're trying to belittle or put down. And even though it was never your intention, people may take it that way. And if that happens, we've talked about this in the past, of all the talking you do, only what, 17% is retained? You want to make sure you're part of that 17% of the messages people receive each day. I'm just drawing a blank on the numbers. We were talking earlier, Grace. Every day, you hear about 30, 35,000 messages every day, different kinds. But we as people only receive about, we only retain about 17% of that. You want to be part of that 17%. And even if in your meeting or just a conversation, you want to be part of their 17% that they retain. I apologize for my screen shaking because I'm actually holding my phone up.
So it looks like you're floating around in space.
I was waiting for one of you ladies to say he's kind of spacey, which would be technically accurate too. So, and I didn't have time to change my background, so I'm good with space.
No, you're good. You're good. So, I'd like to share a situation, exactly what Mason is talking about. And this is how, masterminds work, is that everybody gets to participate with something that they can relate to in this, his topic. We're in a formal dance club. And when we're in this formal dance club, the first thing that happens is that we get all dressed up. You know, Mark's in a tuxedo, I'm in an evening gown. We're ballroom dancers. We show up for this beautiful dinner dance. And it's a social club as well as a dance club. So not everyone are dancers. But oftentimes when you get into that environment, not necessarily dance, but when you get into that environment, and maybe it's because it attracts a little bit of an older crowd because it's ballroom dancing. So there's a lot of experience in that room. There's a lot of older folks in the room. They're dressed to the nines. And all of a sudden, I start to feel a little less than. Because I'm sitting next to like the president of some company on one side of me and, you know, and somebody that's won dance competitions on the other side of me. And all of a sudden they're having a conversation across me and they're speaking a language with words that I don't even understand. And so I really start to feel less than as I'm sitting there because I'm thinking, do I even belong in this room? You know, I mean, here we are, Mark and I can hold our own on the dance floor, but all of a sudden I start to feel a little inferior because I don't even know what some of these people are talking about, but they all seem to know. And I guess from that, I try to always be aware that even because we're all at different levels, and I try to always be aware that I could very well intimidate some of my audience unknowingly because I'm communicating on a different level. And so I always try to stop myself and tell myself to enter the conversation in their heads instead of making them enter the conversation in my head. And that way it keeps me more authentic and it kind of overrides that ego of trying to impress. And, when I'm in the dance group, I decided to practice that because I thought, well, I could go two ways. I could try to step up my game and try to, like Mason, try to impress this group with some big words that I can communicate on their level. Or I can just try to hear what they're saying and not necessarily the words that they're using and try to connect a little deeper with them. And I find that if I really leave the ego at the door and just enter the conversation more authentically and try to hear what they're saying and what they're feeling more than the words that they're using, that I seem to connect a lot more. And Mark and I have surprisingly become one of the favorite couples in the room. Everybody wants to sit with us. And I think that might be part of it, is that we really try to make a deeper connection. So that's my contribution to what Mason's talking about, because I really feel when that conversation started that maybe I wasn't smart enough to be in the room. And I soon learned that it's not about that. It's about connecting. It's not about impressing.
That's a good point. Anybody have any, I personally, many examples of things like that over the years. I mean, anybody else have, maybe you run across that, where either you were the recipient of, like, why are they talking down to me? Anybody else run into that over time?
I will say one thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No worries.
I will say, Mason, that what you just said showed me I don't have to use big words in order to impress somebody. And that has been in my head forever. And what I need to be is just me. Mm-hmm. Be my authentic self. And just, if I don't meet their criteria in what they're looking for, then that's okay. I don't have to be friends with everybody. And I got to make sure I read this chapter, because this is really speaking to me right now.
When we communicate, the idea, in my opinion, is to get the message across. How do you have to do that to get it across clearly? And I'll give you another silly example. Once again, back in the military, years ago, military days, I was in Castle Air Force Base, and every week we had to give charts. And these charts showed trends. And I think I had literally like 20 things I had to go over, 20 charts. I don't know about you guys, but I get bored. And they're my charts. I still get bored of charts. And the wing commander has to go through like a couple hundred every time we did this meeting. So one day, for fun, to make it easy, I literally put a big wide arrow on the side of the chart, and basically it said up is good or down is good, whatever you're going for. So he'd see the line on the chart or the columns. Wow, my finger really shows up on the screen. And I put up is good. That way, and when I did it, I remember my boss just kind of shook his head, and my sergeant was making fun of me. I said, no, we're going to do this. Big green arrow, up is good. So literally when the chart went up, and I'm presenting this as a young captain in front of the colonel and all the other squadron commanders, in an instant, boom, line is going up, up is good, press on. It was a little goofy, but it was meant to convey it in just that fast. And even though my own team they were having fun with me, the colonel loved it, because his words were, I know it's good. Let's press on. And I got the message across. And the point is not about me. It's about, these are my 30 slides. And oh my gosh, I get bored. I mean, I'm invested in them, but please, how many of you want to look at 30 slides? Okay. How many of you? No one. I'm sorry. So I tried to make it. The point was to get my message across. Keep it simple. Mm-hmm. You know, when you see a big arrow, it's green, says up is good, and the line's going up, awesome. Or if the line is going down, they could see it in a heartbeat. We want to get to the point and keep it simple. And that's, doesn't matter what the topic is. You want to make sure we're all on the same point and get to that point, whatever it is. One of the other things we talk about, this chapter talks about, and I enjoy this, is getting the point and then repetition. Mm-hmm. Now, I've known Debbie and Kathy the longest. I've spoken more with Kathy, and I don't know if Kathy realized, every now and then I'll use this phrasing. I'm repeating myself on purpose. Okay. I have a bad habit of repeating myself. And it was a verbal tic of mine. However, so what I, and somebody called me out on that, but what I've learned is sometimes I have to repeat myself to make sure, and I will physically say the words. This is how I handle it. The point of this Zoom meeting is to talk about communication. I mean, I'm repeating myself on purpose. It is all about how to connect with people on a personal level. And the repetition does two things. It keeps the topic, the actual ultimate goal, up front. But then by saying the phrasing, for me, and I do this to catch myself, I'm repeating myself on purpose. It helps illustrate that I'm not just trying to ramble. I'm trying to get that point across. And it helps reinforce the point. So the repetition is important because right now, is there anybody in this group who is not thinking about someone else, something else in the back of their head? Kathy, you've got to walk 10 miles and you've got your guest and you've got your conference. I don't know about ladies the rest of your lives, but is there anybody else who doesn't have something else going on in the back of their head right now?
Yeah, I'm cooking right now.
Okay, somebody's cooking. So, and that's common. That's okay. Let's be honest, that happens. Mm-hmm. So I've got multiple things going on in my head. So the idea is by repeating this, by saying, hey, the point is, and even if we were sitting in a formal conference room right now, same thing. Someone's phone's going to chirp, you know, or vibrate because you're nice. It's going to vibrate. Someone is thinking about, I don't know, a meeting from this morning, you know, or something this afternoon. So by saying the repetition, it helps bring it home. Or in this case, I'm noticing on my screen, my hand movements are really distracting. So I've got to stop that. So getting to the point and then saying what the point is and repeating it helps keep everyone on task. Okay. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get a message across. In this case, we're trying to communicate. I'm competing against whatever else is going on in your life right now. You know, even if it's a casual conversation. So if we're trying to get to a certain point, don't be afraid to say that. Politely, whatever phrase you're comfortable with. For me, it's, look, I'm repeating myself on purpose because, you know, whatever you, yes.
Well, I have a comment that I'd like to share. One of the things that I noticed is when I am on social media, as you post something on the thread, it immediately disappears. As soon as other people start posting or whatever, the thread just disappears right on down the line. And so when I'm doing masterminds or any type of marketing for any of my products across social media, I find that I need to post it more often. And again, I'm repeating myself on purpose. And because what happens if other folks are like me, and again, I try to enter the conversation in their heads instead of making them enter the conversation in mine. What happens to me is I'll see an event that I want to go to. And then when the day comes around, I can't find the darn event to figure out where the link is. And I'm like, why didn't they post it again today? So, because today's the event and I can't find it. And so anyway, I try to keep that in mind that if I'm doing the mastermind, folks are busy and their lives are busy and the kids are busy and there's just things coming at you all the time. The most recent commercial that I saw that really made me smile was this couple that needs to buy a new car. Maybe you've seen it. It's just a new commercial that's just come out. And this couple needs to buy a new car. And he goes, honey, we've got to go pick out a car. And she says, okay, well, the kids have ball practice today, and then there's dance rehearsal tomorrow, and then there's the recital tomorrow night, and then there's church on Sunday morning, and then there's lunch with our parents. And he's like, oh, so we're never gonna get to shop for a car. and that's kind of what happens in today's society. And so I try to make it simple, but I try to repeat myself on purpose whenever I have an event coming up so that folks can find it easier. And I also, the other thing that I do is whenever I'm posting anything, I started posting more in bullet points instead of in paragraph form. Because again, that gets right to the heart of the matter. And it's easier for folks to glance through three or four bullet points than it is for them to read a paragraph to get the information you're trying to share. So that works really well as well. And also in your profiles, I don't know if many of you have been on Clubhouse yet, which is a brand new social media app. And it's amazing, by the way. The profiles there work much better in bullet points as to, you know, what you're about, because once you start speaking, folks will click on your profile just to kind of see who you are and what you have to offer. And again, they don't have time to read down through this whole big long paragraph. So I started doing more and more things on bullet points. And again, I can repeat myself on purpose that way. So that's my contribution to the repeating part of this mastermind today. Back to you, Mason.
So, I mean, has anyone else, how about this, just for fun? Can anyone describe a meeting where you sat in a meeting, either personal or professional, and you knew it was supposed to be going someplace, and it just went everywhere else but? I can't be the only one who's gone through that. Anybody else experience this?
Yeah, and you're sitting there? I have. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of, and again, I'll kind of tell a little tale out of school a little bit. I'm in a smaller authors group, a little chapter off of this big authors group that we're in, and it's just a chapter. And so I offered to host it with the Zoom call. But I was not the facilitator. I was just hosting the platform so that they could all meet on Zoom during all these closures. And it became a complaining fest. You know, I mean, everybody was just, and it just went south from there. It just went downhill. And then all of a sudden, the whole energy of the call changed because, well, I'm unhappy. Well, I'm unhappy. And it's like everybody was trying to outdo each other on how unhappy they were. And I thought, I'm not the facilitator. So I was trying to not, you know, jump in. But I thought, how do I get this turned around? And so, yeah, that... I wasn't sure what the intent of the meetup was, but I'm sure it wasn't that.
I used to go to a support group for because of a certain diagnosis or whatever that I had, and I wanted to get some support from other people who had the same illness or whatever, and I stopped going because people ended up comparing their it was really funny because they were comparing their medication and their level of pain, and so I it wasn't very supportive for me, so I stopped going. So it wasn't on track, and And also to back up for, if I may, Mason, you're talking about repetitive talking with people. I do that all the time because I'm looking for feedback and clarity, and I find that when I repeat myself, the feedback that I get from the it could be a child or an adult, it can be like nonverbal feedback, or it can be verbal feedback, and that's what I'm looking for right. When I repeat myself. And also if I'm in a teaching situation, when I do the repetitive when I repeat myself, I for me, even personally, it helps me to learn better, to digest what I'm what I'm learning, and it puts it in my brain, in my mind, versus I don't have to go back to it. And so I like you, I also repeat myself on purpose, just so I can like grasp hold, kind of like Velcro. I want to stick to me and stuff. So I totally get that.
So two things real quick. One, my phone, I can only see so many faces at a time. So If you're trying to say something with the hand raised, I'm flipping back and forth. So if I miss it, please just chime in. The other thing real quick on what Angela just said, if you're facilitating a conversation or a group or whatever, like I could see Angela in what you're saying, okay, in your group, they started comparing medications. It seems to me, not knowing more details, the moderator at that moment could say, hey, let's talk for a moment. What are your experiences with blah, blah, X medications? So person A says, well, I tried this. It doesn't work well here. Person B says, hey, you might want to try this instead. And that's a valid conversation, but it's a topic. It's not the whole thing. So that's where we, when you moderate, facilitate, okay, this is important for a few people. Let's take a quick moment, compare this. What are your experiences? And then now let's come back to the point. The point is X. And that's where, as moderators, facilitators, we need to keep an eye on that. Sometimes a conversation will naturally take a small tangent. That can be productive, but you've got to bring it back at the appropriate point. And that's where we have to step back as moderators and facilitate. And sometimes I will actually, once again, knowing myself, I'll use a phrasing. If I have to tell a side story to get back to anybody, I'll say, look, I'm going to tell you something, but this is actually relevant. And I'll use that phrasing. Hey, here's an example, or here, let me tell you something, but it's relevant. I'm coming right back to illustrate whatever the main point is. So you want to, when communicating, when connecting, it's okay to take a small detour, as long as that detour brings you back to the main topic.
Right?
I mean, I know that in my personal life, we've dealt with stuff where we're trying different medications. And sometimes it's useful to say, hey, we tried this. Here's what we saw. It didn't work real well. Try that. And then we brought it back to the bigger issue, whatever that was. So whatever your topic is, people are going to have examples. You need to bring it back. Take that small detour, but that detour needs to come back to whatever the topic is, getting to the point.
Right.
And a lot of this connection stuff is being comfortable almost with yourself. So I find for me, I use the simple phrasings. That's great. Now, hey, the point is, or let's get back to this. And I'll actually say those phrasings. And then if I, looking at body language, you know, remember, of communication, 7%, studies show 7% is the words you say. 93% is the body language. So I'll say, hey, let's get back to the point. And based on the body language, I'll then have to adjust accordingly. Hey, I just want to make sure I'm guilty of rambling. I want to bring it back. And I'll use myself because that's the safest thing I can do. You know, I can throw myself under the bus just a little bit because it's true. But it... It takes the pressure off someone else. So if Debbie is trying to go down the path of, you know, wherever, and I'm picking you, Debbie, and I want to reel her back, but I don't want to pick on Debbie openly, I'll say, hey, you know, I have a bad, you know, let's not go there. I want to bring it back because otherwise I'll ramble. So it's these things when connecting, because it's all about connecting the impression you create, you know, it's how are you connecting? How are you? It's not just the words. It's how are you presenting them?
Well, you know? Plus Mason, when you do that, you're not making the person that maybe got off track. You're not making them feel bad.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're kind of taking the heat for it. You're saying, okay, I'm rambling now. Let's get back on topic. And so you're kind of taking the heat for it, for the conversation getting derailed, and you're not. And so that makes the other person not feel bad.
Exactly. Yes. So, and once again, the whole purpose of this is for us to connect, keep it simple, bring it back on point. Sometimes we, once again, saying less if need be. Examples are always great, but we have to make sure. I have to make sure I keep them reeled in. You know, we all have lots of experiences, lots of examples, good, bad, and different. Reel them in, and focused. Because our point is, the point is like today, the point is keeping it simple. How do we connect and keep it simple? Because we, each one of us, consider and tell funny stories about this, this, and that, but we have to bring it back so we make that connection. You know, so we fit into that 7%. Yes, Grace, good morning.
So I want to maybe just parse the distinction between keeping something simple and making not adequately dealing with complex topics, because I've noticed that sometimes that effort towards simplicity becomes obscure because you're dealing with something complex. And so, you know, there is a balance. And it seems to me that in communicating today, there's a lot of effort toward maybe not so much making sure that the person understands by telling them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. I think that's a John Maxwell formula. And you can do that in using three sets of different words, but it's not necessarily oversimplifying, which is the other, you know, too far to the right kind of thing, where people are then feeling like you're talking down to them as if they don't understand. So you're oversimplifying a complex thing. And it's a question of balance, it seems to me, as opposed to, like, I was listening to a podcast where the language that the podcaster was using was an effort to engage with an audience that they didn't really, that they weren't really a part of. So they used a lot of profanity unnecessarily. They used language that was sort of, you know, not appropriate to the topic to relate to this audience. And then that comes off as not actually relating. That comes off as you're assuming, you know, some sort of effort to be quote unquote hip, which probably dates me using that word, but.
No, it doesn't.
as opposed to actually relating to your audience by just being who you are. I'm, you know, you can look at my gray hair and you really wouldn't expect me to be talking like, you know, whoever the latest, you know, rapper is. You'd be shocked if I did that. And I'd be shocked if I could. And so why should, I mean, you know, so there is this balance in terms of your authentic self.
Relative, as simple as a relative word.
Sure.
I mean, simple is a relative word.
So like a 50 cents word, a 50 cents word, which I remember hearing that from my my ex-husband, that I use a lot of 50 cent words. And I'm like, dude, get a dictionary. There is a need at times to speak accurately, and be able to communicate complex things with words that are maybe not your basic four-letter word, because it's a complex notion. And it just occurs to me that if you're doing that, you do have a responsibility to go back and ensure that the person has heard it by asking questions, you know, using, you know, definitions, whatever, to ensure that the complexity is translated. But it's, we can't, you know, avoid difficult topics in the effort just to be simple, right? And so somewhere there's the facilitator's obligation is to understand what that balance is.
I would 100% agree, and I'm gonna jump in here for a second. 100% agree. The word keeping it, the phrasing is relative depending on the topic. For example, if we're going to, okay, I like to write children's stories. Okay. So I can either talk about the fun part of writing children's stories, or I can talk about there's a message I'm trying to convey, which makes it a little more advanced. Or my background is in logistics and Six Sigma. Now, if I'm going to discuss supply chain optimization and Six Sigma topics for improving that with you, there are certain things I'm going to speak to that, which will be a little more, and it depends on my audience. If you are familiar with Six Sigma and supply optimization, then we're going to discuss looking at the process analysis, and we're going to look at identifying and a network. We can use that. That's fine. If, say, for example, and I'm going to pick on Kathy, say Kathy's background isn't supply chain.
And it isn't.
And Six Sigma. Then I'm going to take those same concepts and make sure I'm speaking language that she can relate with. I'm afraid that maybe I convey to you, I want to dumb things down. No, I just want to speak with the person. And that's because what you said is exactly right. Your topic needs to be handled accordingly. Okay. If we're speaking a technical topic, then we're going to use technical terms. If I'm a technical guy in a non-technical group, I'm going to change so people can relate to and understand what I'm talking about, not to speak down with them, but to be able to connect with them. You know, if I speak with you, my days as I was a war planner in the Air Force, and I'm going to talk about my WPM and pre-planning and the logistics, you know, I'm going to change it so that you can understand what I'm referring to, you know, not dumb it down, but so you can relate to what I was referring to, maybe in terms of more, if you're not from that background. But I definitely agree with you 100%. When I say keep it simple, it's keep it simple in terms of so you can understand and be on the same page. That's what I refer to is, yeah, simple is a relative term.
Now I want to interject also when you're running a mastermind, and I'm going to switch gears just a hint and talk about you as a facilitator instead of you as an attendee. As a facilitator, oftentimes you'll be on a topic that some of your members want to know more about, and some of your members do not want to know more about. And that's a perfect opportunity. If you start to get more than three people questioning one of your topics, that's a perfect opportunity to create another mastermind on a more narrow topic. And I'll give you an example. I have a group called Build a Better Business, and we're going through the whole series of how to build a better business, how to create your value proposition statement, and then how to put your story together as your cornerstone of your content. And from there, how to make your offers. And then once you have that in place, how you're going to market all of that. And so we talked about across social media, we talked about blogging, we talked about podcasting, we talked about being a speaker, and all of those are marketing avenues for those products that you've created. Well, my group all of a sudden kept asking more and more about blogging, and they're like, well, what platform do you use? And I'm stuck on this, and I don't know how to create my pictures, and I don't. And so from that, we broke off a subgroup, and I actually started a whole blogging lane because I had so many folks in that Build a Better Business that wanted to know more about how they could create a blog and how they could just monetize the blog and make that one of their products. And so it actually ended up becoming a whole separate group because we wanted to get more technical just in that one phrase or that one phase of the Build a Better Business. Yes, Grace.
And so the people that were in the Build a Better Business that also wanted to do the Build a Better Blog paid a second membership for the other theme, or was it like a sub?
That's a great question. So let me address that. If you recall, I had my core founding members over in Build a Better Business, and then from there, paid members started coming in on Build a Better Business. Once a few of those, some founding, some paid, wanted to now be in a separate group, I made all of that original founding members of the second group and did not charge because that now became the core of that second mastermind.
And then
I opened that up for paid members to join.
Mm.
And you can see by that example how you can grow a mastermind into several masterminds. I now have 8 on 8 different topics, but they started with just one.
Hmm.
So you can see how that can grow.
Sure. Thank you.
Mason, back to you.
So, okay. So kind of coming at the end of an hour, we try and keep these things about an hour or so, depending on the flow. Remember, the whole point of this was, how do we connect? We hear thousands of messages every day, literally thousands of messages every day. Of that, we only take in a tiny percentage. So in terms of communicating, how do we keep it simple? You know, I used the phrasing, and I had this conversation with my son. I'll give you an example. He was in his mid-20s, and of course, he knows more than I do. Just ask him. And I'm used to working with folks where I try and relate with my audience. Now, my background from my career experience, I deal with folks from, I've run production facilities, I've been in steel mills, so great people, but they don't need me to use the highest level of word in the dictionary to get a point across. I want to speak with them, because we're relating. He would get on me about, no, you need to use bigger words. And I'm like, no, I don't. I need to use the language and the terms so I can relate with and talk with my audience, if you will. You know, like I said, in Maxwell's book, he talks about talking to people, not at them. I personally don't like that phrasing. I would rather talk with someone because I want to get to know you. And it doesn't matter whether it's one-on-one, it's one-on-5 like here, or if I'm in front of 100 people. When I speak in front of large groups, I pick out someone and I'm actually talking to 2 or 3 people in the audience. That's how I handle my own nervousness, but I'm trying to talk with them, you know? And then I'm trying to keep it simple relative to the topic, okay? And I like, Grace, I'm really glad you called that point out, because I think maybe I expressed it incorrectly. Simple is a relative term. If I'm in a technical forum, I'm going to use the appropriate language. I'm just trying not to dazzle someone. I don't need to impress you. I literally was at a conference one time, and this gentleman, there was about 250 in the audience, all of us war planners, and this guy got up on the stage and he put up this chart, says, look, I know you guys can't read this because there's so much on here, but I wanted to show you everything. And he came across as he was trying to be a show off. Okay. The slide was totally unreadable. He had way too much on there. You couldn't follow any one line. This is what happened when he said this. He said, guys, I know you really can't really read this slide. And I kid you not, there was about 15 or 20 people in the audience audibly said, then why did you put it up there? He was trying to dazzle us. The audience, a bunch of officers, we don't care. We called him out on it. Then why'd you put it up there?
Mason, I'm going to jump in real quick. Angela has to go. Angela, thank you so much for being with us today. Oh. I really appreciate you.
Bye-bye. Thank you. I look forward to meeting next month, and also I'm excited for January. A little nervous, but excited.
You're going to be fine because you're among friends. We are now your tribe, and you're among friends. And so please weave into it when it's your turn to facilitate. Weave in who you are and your message, because you can start to weave in what it is that you want to promote in your own mastermind, and you can weave it in with this material and get some good practice.
Well, thank you for that tip. I appreciate it. You guys have a absolutely wonderful weekend.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.
So that's just kind of wrapping it up. Sorry, go ahead.
And we lost Debbie. Her power went out. She was on her computer and her whole power at her house went out. And that's why Debbie disappeared.
That scares me because she's just down the road from me.
I know. Yeah, her power went out. So anyway.
So that's the point. I was saying, I'll go back to that. Like I said, Grace, that was a great point on keeping the word civil being relative, because it's, as I'm thinking what you said, I can see where some people might take it as a judgment word. Especially, in my opinion, some were a little hypersensitive today in some areas. Okay, not going to go on that topic. The word simple, I can see where some people might take it as a judgment word. No, it's not meant as that. It's meant as, how do I relate to people? You know, I can speak Spanish. If I spoke Spanish, and I could say this exact same thing in Spanish, but I would not relate to, and well, assuming you don't speak Spanish, I couldn't relate to you because it's a different language. So it's using the same language as who you're talking with, is my opinion. One thing real quick, because I know as we're getting to the end, if we want, Kathy, if we put our emails in the chat room, if you want to connect with other folks.
Yes, please put your contact information in the chat. I will then post it in the Kathy Benner International Academy, is where all of our previous Zoom calls are posted. We have all of the replays there, and it's just under Kathy Benner International Academy. So you can tap into that if you'd like. I will put all of our contact information there if everyone wants to participate. And I'll type in there as well. It's Kathy Benner.
Internet. I have lost you.
Yep, you're still there. Yep, we still hear you.
Yeah, because I can't see you guys now. Kathy, will you put my email in there, which is lmvandyke@yahoo.com? Because
hold on a second here.
There you go, I found you.
Okay. All right.
I found you guys.
Now, can you type it in or do you want me to type it in?
Would you? Because I don't know how to do it from my phone.
All right, and what is it again?
lmvandyke@yahoo.com. Oh, wait a minute, I think I found it. I am literally just tapping my phone right now, trying to figure out how to get things to work.
Okay,
feel free to laugh.
Yep.
Yeah, feel free to laugh if you want.
Nope, it's all good. Yes, Grace.
I found this book. I have an app called Scribd, Scribd. Yes. And the book is there for free. So if you have a Scribd membership, and it's like, I don't know, $60 a year, but you know, they have thousands of books, but not always new books. And it is there. And I think it's there both audibly and in text.
Okay, so it's S-C-R-I-B-D.
D as in Delta.
Okay.
And it's Scribd.com probably.
Okay, and what is the book?
Whatever. Let's see.
The John Maxwell book.
Connecting.
Everyone communicates, you connect.
Right.
Okay.
If the reason I like this topic, especially now, is since we're doing so much more on Zoom, I think, depending on how you handle it, it's harder to connect, in my opinion. So you really have to try and be focused on that. That's my experience, my opinion, is you have to really be focused on how to be able to communicate in a way that connects with someone, that you can relate with someone, and it's electronically. And we do lose a little bit of something there. So you have to really, in my opinion, be cognizant of what you're doing and why. So that's why I personally really like this topic. So.
Well, next month, and I do want to share this, we're going to talk about
Mason, the reason that I'm here.
Oh, go ahead.
Hi, I know it's my first time speaking. My name is Gabri, but I just wanted to go off of what Mason would just say. The reason that I'm here is because of technology. I'm so tired of people my age not being able to connect with themselves or other humans around them because technology has created such a divide between us all. So here I am.
Love that you're here. Thank you for being here today. We love it. Yes, thank you so much. Next time we come on, it'll be Mason's last time in his 5-week series. And chapter 9 is how we tie it all together. And it's going to be called Connectors Inspire People. So when we're connectors, we do inspire other people to connect. And the formula for next month is what they know plus what they see plus what they feel equals inspiration. And so as connectors, we want to bring what they know, what they see, and what they feel, because those three things is what equals inspiration. So it's what we help people know, it's what we help people see, and it's what we help people feel is what equals their inspiration to take the next step in whatever our topic is, whether it be build a better business or how to blog or how to create a nonprofit or whatever your topics are, whatever it is that you want to help folks take the next step in. So that's what we want to do, is help you create a mastermind for your business that you can monetize so that we all get to work from home and travel and work from anywhere in the world, do whatever we want, whenever we want. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah. I love it.
Mason, I'm going to let you tie it up and sign us off.
Well, actually, pretty much wrapped it up. It's all about the connections. That's the important part. It's all about the connections. And I don't know a better way to sum up than that, you know? So, but anyway, thank you, everybody. I appreciate the input. It's very helpful to me. It actually is helpful to me. I learned a lot by doing this. And I really appreciate Gabri's comment about, your phrasing my age made me feel kind of old, but that's okay. I am. But it's true. It's how do you connect now when it's not so much face-to-face? Mm-hmm. You know? How do you make that connection when it's electronic? You know, it's not like, walk up and shake your hand, or let me take your hand in both of mine and then repeat your name 3 times and all those techniques that work for remembering people and connecting people. Well, I can't reach out and physically grab your hand, Gabri, and shake your hand, I can't do that. So I've got to be able to communicate in such a way that makes the connection, not the physicality of it, if you will. So
that's a good point. Mm-hmm.
Remember that? Yeah, when you're taught to shake hands, if you take one person's hand in both of yours and you shake it gently, not creepy, say their name, 3 to 5 times during the conference, it helps you remember people, it helps you make that connection. But we can't do that as much nowadays, you know? And we carry people long distance. I don't know, ladies, where you're from. Kathy and I are here in Ohio. You're in Ohio? Okay. So it's not as, but.
Oh, no, I'm in California.
California? Oh, I'm from San Diego originally. Good morning, then.
Glad you're here. Gabri, we're glad you're here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
I appreciate it. Have a good month.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.